Let's talk tech.
Welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Tech. My name is Tolu. I am your host.
My name is Temi. I'm also your host. And we're here with episode 4, the third episode in our tech breakdown series, and we're going to talk data analytics. Thank you all for tuning in. We hope you learn what data analytics is and why it matters. We hope you're interested to go find out more or even learn some of the skills required to get into the field.
Yes, so as Timmy said, we are looking at data analytics in this episode. And when Timmy and I were looking at the topic, you know, I thought, who else but the Tableau Zen Master herself, Abisola. So Abisola, I'm just going to leave it open to you. Please tell us about yourself. What did you do? How did you get into it? What did you study? Really just your journey getting to where you are right now.
Hi guys. Hi Timmy. Hi Tolu. Thanks for inviting me over. My name is Abisola. I got into data analytics in 2017. It wasn't like I knew that I was trying to stop Udacity or Udemy course. No, I studied engineering in uni, electrical engineering, and after uni, I'd worked in procurement. So I did electrical engineering. Then I'd worked in procurement at Maersk, APM terminals, actually.
Whoa,
so it's part of the Maersk shipping line.
I've got a project for them. They were one of my...
Oh, really?
I worked for them for like 2 years on their cybersecurity. Wow, that's really cool. Sorry.
I did procurement there, and then I was like, okay, maybe I should really go check out what this engineering life is about. So I quit my job and went to like a training thing. So I worked on a power plant in Delta daily for, I wasn't even getting paid, can you imagine? But I was like, oh, let me see what this engineering thing is about. By like halfway through, it was program, but halfway through it, I already knew I was done. Life, going to the plants, whatever, went overalls, nah, just exciting. So my classmate then was working in some company, and he's like, oh, they're hiring, and they needed someone to, he just said they were hiring, they had a role. So I went in, I did an interview, and I was supposed to do a presentation on Tableau, right? That was my first time. This was December 2016, and that was like my first time hearing what Tableau was, or some data or analytics or visualization. So I went to the internet, I put together some deck. I can't even imagine what that deck looked like because I'm sure I've just put rubbish for. I did 2 stages of the interview, and for some reason, they would convince them to hire me.
So wait, hold on. So you just went on the internet and you just learned how to use Tableau within a day or so?
I learned what it was about, not even how to use it. I just learned what it was about and what it was supposed to do. And I came back to the interview to tell them, oh yeah, this is what the software is about and this is what it helps with. So yeah, 2 stages of the interview, and they hired because they are aware Tableau partner at the time. So my role was really like the entire sales pipeline, owning it, finding customers, helping them apply, like see what they can do with software, how it can help them like with analytics. So bank, government institutions, schools, real estate. I did a lot of product demos, and of course you can't do product demos without knowing how to use the software, how to use the tool. So that's how I learned, actually. And I spent a lot of my time on YouTube. My first week, my boss gave me like a dashboard to redo, and I had like a week to do it. And he's like, you have 2 choices, you either sink or swim. So yes, I wasn't going to sink. I had to figure it out. And it was an environment where it was like self-starters, right? So you need to just be able to figure out, like, at the wall of the office. And there was something that said, difficult takes a day, impossible takes a week. Right. So I think by Wednesday of my first week, he had asked me like, okay, so how far is this dashboard you're supposed to recreate? I'm like, I'm finding it difficult. Then he's like, oh, go ahead, what is on the wall? Meaning that bad as the bad, I must get it done within a week. Thankfully, I figured it out. thanks to YouTube, lots of YouTube and the Tableau community.
Common theme that we're seeing.
Yeah, YouTube University.
We've said it before, but YouTube is amazing. Literally, what Bisela has just said is she was able to get a job and kind of grow and succeed within her job thanks to the internet, right? Been finding out about what Tableau is, being able to present that back in an interview, and then learning more about how to actually use it all through the internet, YouTube, things that are free. Mm-hmm. So like the world is our oyster. So yeah, it's really cool.
I think the fact that she could convince, you know, the employers to hire her within a day of just learning what Tableau was let us know that, yeah, we have the right person on this episode, isn't it? Yeah. So thank you, Bisola.
Yeah, I guess. Sure. That's pretty much how it got started. So, yeah, that's something.
Bisola, please, how would you describe data analytics to average person on the street? Please break it down for us. What is data analytics?
To be honest, I think it's pretty simple, right? About you want to go from Ikeja to Victoria Island, right? Or let's say you've been taking the trip every day for about 3 months. You leave your house at 6 o'clock and you get there at 8 o'clock every day. You have an idea of how much time it takes you. You know that when it rains, it will take you 3 hours. When it doesn't rain, it takes you 1 hour. That's a data point. And so you know that if it's going to rain tomorrow, then you need to plan ahead and leave your house earlier. Calculated based on data. So it's really simple. It's like different points that you use to make decisions. And it's in everything that you do. If you own a store, you sell clothes or you sell shoes, what kind of customers buy from you? Why do they buy from you? And how do you know why they buy from you? You can ask them a question. You can do a survey, right? You sample, you have 50 customers. You sample half of them, right? When you talk to them, ask them specific questions. You know, why do you buy this particular thing? Pick a subset. So if you out of 50, right, you pick 20 people. That's a subset of your sample size.
Okay.
Yeah. All of that, quantitative, qualitative. Quantitative is, oh, this is how much you spend, right, in terms of numbers. Sorry, quantitative is how much you spend in terms of numbers, then qualitative is, okay, this is what I'm actually buying from you. Look through it. Whether you're analyzing it in Excel or you're using paper and barrel, bottom line is that you're transforming all of that information you have to use to make a decision. That's what it is.
So what I'm hearing is data analytics is you take data, you may take a sample of that data, and you do some analysis on it in order to get some insight that you can then use to make a decision or get more information about, depending on why you're doing that analysis, right?
Yeah, bottom line is you have a question that you're trying to answer. How do you answer it? Mm. That's just what it is.
Cool.
And how do you answer that with your data? That's essentially the reason. Yeah, and I really love that you use that example of, you know, moving from point A to point B to express that, because I guess, you know, when you hear data analysis or analytics, you know, it just seems like such a broad concept that's far off for like people. Whereas every day, like we're collecting data or we're collating data, mm-hmm. like the activities that we do. So it really helps to, that example really just brought it home for everyone. So Bisola, moving on to real life applications. So I heard you say that you've done some work across, you know, the banking sector to real estate in terms of data analytics. So are you able to share just some examples and like the impact you've seen from being able to help companies, you know, analyze their data and help them in making decisions?
At the end of the day, it's applicable in like different, for example, what's in FMCG, right? A tech company that uses app, right, for retailers to restock their store. Right. For that kind of data in that sense means that you want to know what your retailers are ordering the most, what their restock schedule is like, how much they spend in a month, how much they spend in a week to restock their shelves, how quickly they run out of stuff. When you have all that information, you can then use it to plan to say, okay, if these people are spending 20K or they're spending 50K, then maybe I should think about offering them line of credit, right, to restock their shop. Then maybe if I do that, then they'll be able to expand their spend, and then that means they're spending more with you. So that kind of stuff. Also, like in fintech, I work in fintech now, and there's a whole lot like customer behavior, transaction behavior.
What fintech, please?
Oh, financial technology. I work at a financial technology company. That's what it is. Payment processing company, anyways. It's called PayStack.
I'm just saying that for our listeners who may not know what fintech is, you know, here we're all about breaking it down. We don't want to leave any stone unturned.
Sure. I mean, fintech is like a new word, I guess. So it's not the typical banking. So it's using tech to improve financial institutions. Essentially, I work in a payments processing company. We help other businesses process payments online and offline.
But I want to know more, please, if you could, about how do you actually do that? So you spoke about you could write it down with a pen and paper or you could use Excel. What sort of tools would you typically use? You don't have to go in depth, but just an idea of how could you, me the average person? How could I, if I wanted to analyze some data, how could I go about doing it?
So average person is relative, and the kind of data you're analyzing is relative. If I'm an Instagram vendor and I sell shoes and bags, or let's say you have a pistach storefront, yeah, and you sell clothes or you sell cakes or you sell food, before you have, you can see each customer with their email. You can see how much they spend. You can see how frequently they come back. Do you have return customers? Do you have customers that come once in a month? The return customers, do you know why they're coming back? And how do you want to know that? You get their email and reach out to them. You do a survey. You can do this in a simple Google form. And then they fill it out. And you export it to a Google Sheet. And you do a simple bar charts, whatever. See what the or line charts, see what the trend is like. And then if it's qualitative answers, then you just want to review what their questions are like. That's like a very simple form. Right. But it's different if you're talking about you work in a bank or you work in a payments company. All your data is collected and it's in some database. You need to get your data out. So you want to know how to use SQL or structured query language. If you work in like some big company where the data is in a database, you would need to get the data out. Let's say you work in a, I can use a data somewhere. You want to see how many customers pay us daily or monthly or yearly. So what kind of customers? What's their demographic? What is the age range? Where do they live? Right? What are they buying? What do they spend their money on? First of all, use SQL to get the data out of your database. Then you can export it to Excel or you can use Tableau or maybe Power BI to then further analyze and visualize the data, find insights, slice and dice. So
what's the difference between Excel, Google Sheets and Tableau?
To be honest, Excel is a form of database as well. Excel is a very strong tool. If you check most tools or most platforms or whatever, the first thing you always see is an export to Excel option, right?
Mm-hmm,
yes, export to Excel is always there because it's super accessible. You can do a pivot table quickly and analyze. You get straight to the point.
I love a pivot table.
Yeah, right. And I mean, Excel has a whole bunch of other stuff. VLOOKUPs, index match, blah, 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 blah. There's a whole lot that you can do with Excel. And you can also visualize in Excel. You can do your bar charts. You can do your line charts.
I wanted to draw a link between what you were saying. So we have data and we can analyze it in several ways. Like you said, we can use Google. We can collect the data, analyze mm-hmm. it, literally using Google Forms and Google Sheets. Or you can mm-hmm. use a SQL query from a database and analyze it that way. And then you've got data to visualize that data. You can use things like charts. And we're speaking about Excel, which is quite a powerful tool for doing all of mm-hmm. that. And then I think you were going to go into other data visualization tools.
Yes, that's what I was saying, right? Because if the first thing you want to answer the question, you want to answer a question, right? That's where you're starting mm-hmm. from. The next thing is, do you have the data to answer the question? And I was comparing, if you're a growing business owner, then you can have your data in like an Excel database. Or if you're a large corporation, then your data is sitting in like a huge data warehouse, right? Where you need like SQL to get out like multiple
What's
tables in
data
your data
warehouse.
Let's say I'm a payments processing company, right? Millions of transactions go through my system. And I need to record that across different type of customers, different type of cards, different type of banks. All of this data is not going to sit in Excel because Excel does not have the capacity to handle it, right? And it's all of this is running on like software. So there's a back end. Yes. So your database is where everything is stored. That's where your data is. Just to clarify.
Yes. And just, I'm saying there's a potential link between what you've just said and our previous episode, Let's Talk Cloud. Would a data warehouse typically sit in the cloud? Because you said a lot of this is software based. So I'm thinking software as a service. Would a lot of this be in the cloud?
Yeah. For example, Amazon like has like a big AWS business, which a lot of people may not even
know. They should know about it if they listen to our last episode. But yeah. AWS is huge, right? And part of what they do is data warehousing, data analysis, and stuff like that. So a data warehouse is just like a huge store of data, like millions of records, potentially.
Yeah, more than you'd be able to store with Excel.
We talked about Google Sheets and Excel, and then I was going to talk about Tableau. I'm pretty much biased Tableau, but yeah.
That's all right. I am.
Well, because That's how Power I got my BI. That's how I started. Oh, so are we going to have a Tableau versus Power BI conversation?
I don't know. I beg, oh, please. No. I'm not a data analysis expert. You guys will blow me out of the water. Me, I'm very softly with Power BI. It's the only one I know. That's all it is.
I mean, that's how I got started. And I learned how to use Tableau before I learned how to use SQL. But when I started learning how to use Tableau, I didn't even know what SQL was. Best thing about Tableau is there's so much content on how to learn. And it's like a soft landing into data. You might find like SQL, what's the word, confusing because it looks like code. And people are like, no, I don't want to write code. This thing is too complicated. So you might find it challenging. There's a word I'm looking for. I don't remember right now. Intimidating. Yes, that's the word. But Tableau gives you that soft landing. So you first start off with simple things like you have a data set available, just connect it to Tableau, find insights inside the data. That's a good place to start. When you do that over and over again, first of all, you're improving how you're able to analyze, how to find, ask the right questions, mm-hmm. find the answers in your data, then how to communicate that visually to your stakeholders. Because, for example, if you work in a multi-billion company, nobody, your CEO is not going to ask you to write SQL. That's not his business, right? He just wants to know what is in the data and present the it to insights. Me. Let me see what. Yeah, he or she wants to see the insights. Like, okay, this is what our numbers look like. This is what our customers want. This is what we're offering them. This is the feedback. They don't care whether you're using SQL or you're using Power BI or you're using whatever.
That's good. Thank you, Bissell. I think you've covered the different areas.
How do you know the right question to ask? Because you've said that a few times, and I'm getting the feeling that is very important. And it makes sense, right? Because data, there's so many different types of data that you could have. And I agree with you completely. Like, you need to know what you're looking for in order to be able to make sense of it, right? But how do you know? How do you know the right question to ask? And how do you know that you're asking the right question?
That is like from a business perspective. As an organization, when you come at the beginning of the year and you say, this is what we want to do for 2021. As a business, you need to have that high-level conversation with your stakeholders that you will now agree and say, okay, in 2021, we have 100K customers, and at the end of 2021, we want to 5X that number. We want to be at 500K. How are you going to get from 100K to 500? You need to know the current people. Why did they join? Why did they sign up to your app? What problem are you helping them solve? Mm-hmm. How have you made their lives easier? Then you will now use that information to say, okay, they are with me because I'm offering them free X, Y, and Z, or I'm saving them this. That you can now use that information to pattern and say, since these existing customers came to me because of this, then I can now use that to market and say, this is what you get when you come to me. That's it. That's like a strategy. That's a tactic. That's from the business goal. It needs to be defined.
So it needs to be outcome-driven, basically.
Yeah. Your business goal needs to be defined. You need to know what you want to achieve. Then you can now. And then there's different types of data, like predictive, descriptive. What's so predictive? It's, okay, descriptive is like what has happened in the past. Like I said, these 100K customers, how did they get to us? Predictive is what is going to happen using the data that we already have. So what's going to happen in the future and how can we prepare for it? In simple terms, that's what it is.
And I think maybe to add to that, you can also start off looking at the data that you have possibly. So saying, for example, going back to the initial example on moving from point A to point B, the amount of time. So in terms of data, that's outgoing location and location, simply put. And just looking at that, that could even just fuel or bring up an idea on what you want to know about that location, possibly, if that makes sense. So I guess it's both ways. Yeah, you can look at it from outcome and then also looking at the data that you have available. But that might be just from a technical point, because you might not have like managers or something looking into the data to say, oh, this is what we have, this is what we don't have. Anyway,
that's a good a point, because if you define your business goal, then you now need to know, okay, how are we going to get there? Then you will not see, okay, or do we even have any data that is missing? And if we have data that is missing that we need to help us find, answer this question, how do we now ensure that we start collecting this kind of information?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so
how much creativity do you have? Sorry, because, or not creativity isn't the word. How much scope is there for you to say, I'm not saying the business would be wrong, but let's say the business wants, like the example you gave, the business wants to increase their revenue, and they think the way to do so is to retain more of their customers. But when you start analyzing the data, you're like, you're already retaining 95% of your customers, is like the output of the analysis that you've done. Are you then able to go back to the business and say, actually, your question isn't about customer retention. You should be looking at customer getting new customers. Yeah, acquisition, yeah.
Yeah, because that's why they're coming to you, right? We want to 5x our customers, our customer base. And if you have 95% retention, that is high. That's really good. Yeah. This is super random. I was reading something about Peloton, and their subscription rates, renewal rates is really high for like the industry they're in. So they know that for them
once you buy it,
their bottom line, you need to get more customers. Mm-hmm. Because the ones that you already have are not leaving anyways. Their retention is high. They're renewing their subscriptions, right? So
and maybe not to have to recall one of their products. That may help as well.
Well, yeah. You sound like you've had an experience.
No. It's just, did you not see the news recently? They had to recall their treadmills because unfortunately there was an accident with a young child.
Oh, wow, so, I didn't say that.
Yeah, they had to recall some of the treads, or all of them, maybe, actually. So that's not great for them.
Oh, that's crazy. I didn't say that. Anyway, but yeah.
It sounds like data analysis is a really valuable tool, right? And I can see that it will slot into many different industries, many different businesses.
There's no business that cannot leverage data to drive growth. You just need to decide what you're going to do with it.
I think that's a key point, because this is partly why we wanted to do this podcast. You hear these buzzwords like AI, cloud, data, and almost every company or every huge organization, even startups, are trying to leverage these technologies, but they're not necessarily always seeing the business benefit. From what you've said, I'm now thinking a lot of that, maybe they're asking the wrong questions, because the tooling is there. People are there, like yourself and Tolu, who know how to give you the models, do the analysis and so on and so forth. But if the business isn't asking the right questions, they could use data analysis, going to get anything valuable out of it. So I really like that you've emphasized that point about you need to ask the right questions, because if you don't, then...
Yeah. And you also need to be open to what the data is telling you. You need to be open to see what... Because the data can tell you, no, we don't need to prioritize this product. But somebody else on the management team will say, no, we're prioritizing products because they have an idea of...
Bias.
So that's very, very important as well, right? Not everybody has warmed up today. I mean, even though there's the part where you check the data, and then there's also the part where you go with your gut feeling, but you need to be able to balance the both of them. So it's not a case of this is how we've always done this, so we must continue that way, right?
Yeah.
This is how we've always done it, but we are open to see what data are telling us, and let's we put our options of both like strategies here.
Yeah, that's such an important point. I remember like starting off in an organization, and the first thing I was giving access to like a data set, and the manager was like, go on, dive in. anything. So we sort of like, you know what you were saying about being open to what the data is telling us. So there are times, okay, maybe you don't have a question, or you might go in with a question, as you said, but then you find out and you might be expecting to get X or Y outcome. And then you find out, oh, it's something else, kind of like, serendipity, where you were kind of like looking out for getting this outcome, but then you found out something else. So, yeah, different ways, I guess, to approaching it. It could be through a question, and yeah, it could just be being open to what the data is actually saying, rather than being biased towards a certain area.
Priscilla, you've given us some excellent real-life applications. What are some of your favorite applications of data analytics that you can think about? It can be either that you've worked on or that you've come across, you've experienced in some way.
I started building a data community last year. So that's my own, like, what we used to do is like organize different meetups.
What's it called?
It's called We Visualize. So the idea is like a community of data enthusiasts, data analytics enthusiasts, data visualization enthusiasts. So we used to meet up like once a quarter. And people come in that have never built a dashboard in their life, and then at the end of it, we stay there. Maybe in a day, we do like a 5-6 hours visa phone or something, and you firsthand, you pair people up in group, and at the end of the day, they have it's like an experience, because you go from not knowing how to do something to building something with a group of people at the end of the day. And that singular experience just propels you to want to know more, to want to do more, to want to download the software and say, okay, let me take this data set for a spin. So yeah, that's my own.
And are you on social media? How can people find out more about We Visualize?
Well, they can find us on Twitter. To be honest, we haven't done much this year because life has been happening, and I haven't found my rhythm and balance yet. But we're on Twitter at, I think it's WeVisualize or V_Visualize. And then you can check us on Meetup. Yeah. There's a Meetup group called WeVisualize. Yeah.
Okay.
If you join, you'd see information to join our next Meetup, or you can, you get the information, join our next Meetup, and we'll send you like the link to join the newsletter group and all that.
Nice. Sounds really good. Are your Meetups physical or they're virtual?
Well, COVID-20 virtual. So we did about 3 last year. So it was all virtual, but I'm looking forward to physical meetups soon. But I think we're going to have like a virtual one in July.
Nice. Yeah. I'm just wondering, because some people like who were listening may be everywhere, different places. So it sounds like you've got digital content anyway, newsletter, and they can join the virtual meetup in July.
We also have like a Telegram group. This one is very active. It's quite active, right? So when people join, we share resources on how to get started. Nice. And then we find people building their dashboards, posting it there to get feedback.
Awesome.
Just sharing. So it's like peer-to-peer learning, really.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
You heard it here. Was it first? I don't know if you heard it here first. I'm going to say you heard it here first.
On a podcast, isn't it?
I haven't heard it on any other podcast. You heard it here first. We visualize peer-to-peer learning, data analysis, and data visualization enthusiasts. Get on it, guys. You never know. You could learn your next career move skill. You never know. Or you could just pick it up. Have a bit of fun with it. Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, like this. Someone like in the community, I remember like when she's joined all of our meetups, and she's been like super consistent, because I mean, it's one thing to want to learn, but it's also another thing to be committed and like chart your own learnings, and she's been super consistent. There's like there's something called Makeover Monday where you get data sets every week and you get to turn it over, find new insights, redesign, recommunicate, just rejig the existing one, find something that doesn't work and communicate the insights in a better way. So she's been super consistent with that. And she recently just landed like a great gig. She moved out of Niger to like another country, Sweden.
Wow. But,
nice.
Yeah, in data science. So yeah, nice. So that made me really excited, because
guys, tech takes you
places. So it's really not just by joining, right? But being committed to doing the work and learning. So.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's good.
Well, if you're looking for a support system, yeah, you've got us. You can join the
awesome, group. Love that.
Yeah, you know, like nothing like peer to peer learning, really, where you can have someone to be accountable to. So, apart from We Visualize, so what are you most excited about with data analytics, and what are your biggest concerns?
Maybe concerns would be data privacy issues, but then again. Yeah, I don't mind, like, if I talk about something today, maybe, like, there's a whole thing about data privacy that I'm not ready to get into. But me, I don't mind trying to find something. Like, I want to buy something, and then next thing I go on Instagram and see the ads. It just makes my own life easier.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're one of those.
Yes, I'm one of those.
I have a friend. She's like, take all the data and just give me everything I need. And I'm like, no.
I mean, I think my only issue with that is like seeing it consistently. Like, once you've shown me once, okay, cool. Like, why show me over again?
Yeah, if you show me once, it's fine. But I feel like ethical parts has to be like, there has to be some ethical approach to it. Like, don't sell people data, obviously, without their consent. Exactly. Don't sell, don't sell without their consent. Don't
do
that.
It's all well and good when it's just a bit of shopping, a top, trousers, shoes, something I search. But when you think about the potential ramifications, so remember those ancestry tests that a lot of people were doing? It turns out that one of those companies, there is something in the small print that says that they could sell your data on. So that is someone's DNA, genetic information, their predisposition to various disorders and different things that could be sold onto, let's say, for example, a medical insurance company, who could then hike up medical insurance based on that data. So that's an extreme example, of course, but that's my worry, because when it's something trivial, we're like, cool, yeah, it's making my life more convenient, but then where does it stop? And do we, if we let it just carry on, do we then have the control or the momentum to slow it down? Because now Facebook, WhatsApp, Instagram, all owned by Facebook, they're already selling data to advertisers, right? Google. And these are giant companies that now hold so much information about all of us. And we are now completely reliant on them to be ethical, like you've said, right? If they just, if Mark Zuckerberg woke up tomorrow and was like, you know what, I'm going to insert some random bit of condition in their terms and conditions, release it, and it's a really small print, how many of us would see it? And it was like, we can sell your data to whoever we want. And then the highest bidder came, let's say, I don't know, what's something nefarious? I don't know. I can't think of anything right now. But something nefarious, like, yeah, I want to sell all that data. And they targeted everyone that they bought the data of. And it's like, we're at their mercy. That's my concern. And it's like, I want my data to be anonymized on any site that I'm on. I don't want anyone to be able to see it unless I explicitly say, I want you to see it.
That's important. That's very important.
Data is power. Like you guys have just highlighted, if you know what you're doing with data, you can get so much out of it. US elections as an example. So,
So how about, things that you're excited about?
I feel like there's so much more coming. We're still at the early stages. I'm not sure what the future is going to be like, but I'm excited about, like, also stuff like lots of artificial intelligence. Of course, robots are not going to take over the world. No, they won't. but I'm just excited to see what's coming. I don't have any, I'm not a fortune teller, what's it called? Yeah. But there's so much like businesses are going to do that I'm looking forward to. Creating models, all of that good stuff, machine learning, deep learning.
So I know you described, or you touched on the fact that there's descriptive analytics and then you have the predictive side of things. So I'm interested to know, like, are you finding that C-level CEOs, etc., are more interested in that side, the predictive side, compared to the descriptive? Do you see that kind of fading away, if you like, or what do you think about that nearest future?
I don't think it's one over the other. It's definitely not one over the other, right? I mean, if I predict that, oh, next week this is going to happen and my model comes out right, because first of all, for you to be able to predict something, it means you're building a model based on what has happened before. Rain has fallen so time in this particular period, it means that it's more likely to happen this particular time. So, and then if it does happen, that means that my model is better. The accuracy of my model is getting better. So you want to know what has happened and you want to know what is going to happen. Both of them points that would help drive business decision.
Okay. That's interesting. I mean, I just thought to ask because, you know, like there's a lot of, I guess because it's a new thing, really, there's a lot of buzz around machine learning, deep learning and the possibilities. And I guess that's just because we're getting to find out more about what it can do and what's possible with that. And not that it's, like you said, not that it's one over the other, but rather, okay.
I think Bissell has done an amazing job.
Yeah.
Let us know. Do you understand what data analysis is now? Bissella, you touched on a lot of stuff about self-learning, peer-to-peer learning, or any kind of resources you'd point people towards, specifically around learning more about data analysis or learning the skills.
Yes, I can go on a tangent right now. the tableau.com/learn, for if you want to learn how to use Tableau to see and understand data, just go to tableau.com/learn. There, you get to post it on the internet. There's a hashtag on Twitter called they would give you feedback. Support you, you get to learn from other people. Tableau has an amazing way for you to build an online portfolio. I know it sounds like I'm advertising for Tableau now, but I'm not. There's also like different challenges. There's Iron Quest, if you Google IonQuest, hosted by someone called Sarah, she's like a data person as well. Every month you get to like do a project with this interesting data that you can find on your own. There is Data Camp. You can find SQL courses on Data Camp. You can find on Udacity. You can find on Udemy. There is W3 Schools for SQL as well.
And OG.
W3 Schools. Yeah. I've mentioned Free Code Camp. Okay. Not to like overwhelm anyone, but those are like good resources too. Yeah.
Solid list.
I have a post that I've been writing for over 6 months. Hopefully, because I get asked this question a lot. Like, oh, and where do I start from? And I always I have like something I copy and paste and just send to people. Yeah, make of that what you will. But I have. Maybe I'll get around to it by the end of the month. Who knows? Or maybe never.
I believe you will. You'll do it.
Yeah, or you could just direct people to, you know, I was on a podcast. I talked about that. Go listen to it.
Yes, I'll do that.
All right. Awesome. Thank you. Right, that is a really good list. I think we have approximately 7 or 8 sites there. We will post that in our episode recap summary on Instagram in a week or so after this episode is released. Okay, so this is the part of the episode where we say a massive thank you to Bisola. You have broken down data analysis excellently, in my opinion, with really good, simple language and practical examples. So thank you very much for that, and thank you for coming on the podcast.
Welcome. Thank you for having me. This is my first time on the podcast. Yes, it is.
Hey, come on. So you did hear it here first. Nice. Awesome. We are happy to be your first podcast. So yeah, we've just spoken about data analytics and we hope you enjoyed it. This was episode 3 of our Let's Talk Tech Breakdown season, and episode 4 altogether of Let's Talk Tech. If you haven't listened to any of our previous episodes, please go back and listen. It will make a lot more sense. And to Let's Talk Data Analysis, we had a blast. We hope you did too. Coming up next, we will continue our breakdown of tech hot topics. We will announce what we're breaking down in about a week. So keep an eye out for it on our Instagram page. We are partnering with Aftergrad Gist, that's our Instagram page, which is at AFTERGRADGIST. Check us out on Instagram. We post promos for the upcoming episode. We let you know when the episode is released. We post recaps, summaries. You can leave us a comment, leave us a message. This podcast is, we really want it to be shaped by you, our listeners, and what you want and need from us with regards to technology. So please let us know if there's anything you really want us to cover. And if you have any specific questions about any topics, any guests, if you have any questions for a data analysis expert, Tolu is here. If you have any questions about cybersecurity, I'm here. If you have any questions in general about technology, ask us. Even if we don't know, we will use that amazing resource called Google and we will come on the podcast and tell you all about it. So thank you all. And that's it for today.
Bye.
Ciao. Thank you, Bisola.
Thank you. Bye, guys.